Okay, good morning. You can turn to Psalms 31. I will land there eventually. As Phyllis mentioned, we were able to do this funeral for Rosita's mother, and I want to say again, thank you for everybody that was able to help us and do that. A lot of you were gone and had other commitments, which was fine, but it was an outreach. I mean, it was a blessing and honor, and I let all the folks that came, we were able to do the whole funeral here, and the dinner afterwards, and it was awesome. Like, the place was full of a family that a lot of you grew up with that were from here, and all of their extended family. And there's a lot that went on. And everything, it's about seeing everything that we do, the value of everything that we do and everything that comes. And big things or little things, if you begin to look at your life and everything that you put your hand to do as significant as actually it is, and the only way that it is not is if you don't apply faith to your life. And the scripture says that anything that is without faith is sin. This is a very strong statement. I can't quote the passage right now, but it's New Testament. Anything that's without faith is sin. And the context of faith in that, in this instance, is that you begin to believe, you must believe that your life has purpose, destiny, that what you do has significance, and that nothing is vain. It will help you stop complaining speaking badly of the difficult areas, days, chapters of your life, because everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. And I was reading, and I'm not going to turn there, but I was reading in Psalms 105, and it's a whole chapter about Israel's history and how the Lord delivered them from this and from that, and they were to remember those moments of deliverance. And we are to remember all of the things, all of the points that the Lord met us, all the points that the Lord provided for us, all the points that we prayed prayers and He answered, how easy it is to forget it all. So today a new need shows up, and if you are exasperated or in fear or worried or anxious, it pretty much means this, unless you don't have a history in God. I mean, maybe you don't. Unless you've not experienced the Lord helping you, delivering you, watching over you. I mean, maybe that's your story. I won't ask for any hands. But in all honesty, I doubt if there are any actually. I mean, even if you're a complete heathen, you have to admit, you know, God's saved your neck more than once. They all know that. Even if people that aren't walking with the Lord, they have a testimony. They actually do. They actually do have a testimony. They actually know that at certain chapters and certain times and in certain situations in their life, the Lord saved them. The Lord helped them. The Lord delivered them. That's true. That's true. I just realized that. That is so often true. They'll tell that. And they're totally not even committed to Jesus. But they'll acknowledge the Lord came and helped me and delivered me and did something. And we're to remember those things who would build a history. So that the next time something comes up, it's really tragic if the next time something comes up, we start from ground zero like God never helped us with anything. So the purpose of remembering is that you can build. Okay, this is a bigger situation, but you build on the one that he helped you with that was just back here. And you have to keep purposely keep that in memory. And in Psalms 105, it refers to, it must be verse 21, 22, somewhere in there, that it refers to Joseph and the promise that was on Joseph's life. And Joseph, the story very briefly was, his brother sold him into slavery. He had a promise. He had a dream of his destiny. And then his brothers helped him with that dream and sold him into slavery. Made his father think that he was dead. I mean, what a scenario. What a device, a horrible plan that they had. They sold him into slavery to help him fulfill his destiny. Of course, they don't realize what they're doing. How it may twist your brain a little bit, but God used that. God used all of that to get Joseph right where he wanted him. And he had to believe through that whole situation. He believed enough that he didn't shoot himself. I mean, he ends up in prison. In Pharaoh's court, things start to look good, then things go bad, and it gets worse, and he's waiting. And this scripture in Psalms 105 says that because of the promise tested him until it was time for him to come forth, or until the time his character was ready, that he was ready to inherit the promise. There was a purpose for the delay. Israel didn't enter into their promised land until they're ready to enter into their promised land. You, what if most of your life is spent waiting on that promise to be fulfilled? You don't want to quit right now. Especially now that you have 30, 40, 50, 60 years into it. Don't give it up now. And you have to understand that God is working and nothing's late for him. We're like, where are you? He's never late. He's often slow, but he's never late. He's often not on our time schedule. So there's this fulfilling of promises and destinies. And he's building character and building in us. Yesterday, when I was preparing for this funeral, I got this word for these folks. And real quickly, the story is that Rosita's mother, Saba, was... I actually can't hardly pronounce her real name. She was Puerto Rican. Isla... It's like Sabalito, but it's Islalita. It's cool. It's really pretty. If someone even knows how to pronounce it, says it, you go, oh, that's beautiful. But I can't say it. So we call her Saba. She, about 2 years ago, had cancer. She overcame the cancer. She got free from the cancer. I think it was breast cancer. Yay! Then a few weeks ago, she gets the flu. Goes to the hospital, and within one day, because of complications, and it put her in a coma, and she developed a respiratory problem, and that was it. She was then on a breathing machine for 11 days, and until it was over. And I looked at that. I looked at the odd scenario. She overcomes cancer and she gets the flu, and because it created complications, it just lights out. And I thought to myself, isn't it crazy? It's often the little things that get you. And I was able to minister to this group yesterday, which was, I say it again, it was a real privilege to get to speak into their lives, because I know this group of people are just full of destiny and calling. And it's cool to speak into that, because an enemy has been at work to keep them from their destiny, to keep them from their purpose, and the family history is bizarre. It's just crazy, some of the things. I mean, bizarre. And yet, out of this, they're beautiful people. And out of that, there's calling and destiny in their lives. And the enemy, they have an enemy of their soul that comes to steal, kill, and destroy and take them out one by one. All kinds of tragedy. I've been talking about the connection with the Father, making this connection with the Father through the Son. The Father's reconciling us to himself through his Son. And he desires intimacy. He desires to be close to us. If we can get to, and you watch these people, and I know many of their stories or bits and pieces of their stories, and you realize, you can get to see some of the things, what happened early on, and it caused a break that they would not be able to believe or hinder them believing that God loved them, that he wants to draw near to them. And it can be just the little things that begin, the disappointments, the offenses, the odd situations you live in, the things that happen. And if with that situation is a whisper from an enemy that you don't even see that tells you God doesn't love you, you're forsaken, look what they have, you don't have, and you believe that whisper and it sounds like your own voice, it sounds like the truth, you allow something to separate you instead of coming to the Lord with what, coming to him like a father that would help you, you're separated. The greatest plan the enemy has for all of our lives is to separate us from the Father. That's the plan that works. It doesn't matter how what he uses, just so the goal is accomplished. And for some people, it's a big thing that comes. And for others, it's the smallest little thing. But if it gets you to separate and distance yourself from a loving Father, good parents, they, as they raise their children, you know when something's wrong, don't you? Your little one comes, they're all of a sudden they're acting different, something's weird, you ask them a question, they give you an odd answer. And as a parent, you go, something's up. Y'all know that are parents? You see that, you watch, you go, there's something to that. What you doing? Nothing. Where have you been? Oh, nowhere. You can tell, as a parent, you can tell something's not right. And so because you love and you care, you press into that thing. You know something's come between you and them, and it's, you know, sometimes it's obvious, but many times it's not obvious. You don't know. There was God coming to the garden with Adam and Eve, and they all of a sudden they were hiding from him. That thing. He's like, hello, knock, 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 like, I'm here. We always come out and meet and talk together in the evening, the cool of the evening. Where are you at? And Adam's voice from behind a fig leaf, you know, we're here. We hid ourselves because we're naked. Who told you that? This is the scripture. Who told you we're naked? Because yesterday you weren't aware of that. Today you are. What happened? What did you do? And so the enemy works to separate us in any way that he can. And it can be just the little things. And I had this phrase that came to me when I was preparing, my times are in his hands. And it's out of Psalms 31 in verse, you'll see that verse in verse 15. My times are in your hand, Lord. So King David writes this psalm and he says, my times are in your hand. And it is it's a statement of faith, but it's a statement of resignation as well. Like, I can't control this. This is bigger than me. I can't even keep my own self alive. Like, my time, it's in your hands. It's not in mine. I'm going to do everything that I can to avoid my enemies killing me, but my times are in your hand. Ultimately, I can't control that. So you look back at the context of the whole chapter, and it begins in verse 1. That's where all the chapters begin. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Verse 2, bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense, and save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. And then in verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. Somebody else said that. Jesus said that. He was just quoting David. So many things are like that. Like, I've heard that before. Oh, yeah. In my hands, here's King David. He's the guy that shouldn't have problems, but he was plagued with them. He's the guy that shouldn't have enemies, but he was plagued with enemies. There were enemies outside, and then at a certain point, one of his own sons, Absalom, becomes his enemy. That's the one that cuts the deepest. When from your own household, there's a betrayal. When from your own household, they're gathering people up against you. It doesn't get a whole lot worse than that. And so King David, who wrote all of our Psalms, we still worship in the spirit of David. Like he in the tabernacle, excuse me, he tapped into this worship. The key of David. The worship that we pursue, try to do. He was a superhero. He would have been one of our superstar athletes. He would have been the Heisman Trophy winner. See, I even got that out. I know, Robbie's impressed. I even knew what that was. Don't ask me who Heisman is. And through this chapter, all he talks about is his enemies. He's so aware. Can you identify? Sometimes there's certain chapters in your life, there are seasons in your life where you're just like really aware of what's coming after you. And here's the difference. Here's the key. Here's what I keep trying to press. David knew how in those things, those times, when we typically turn to other things to separate ourselves because things aren't going well, we're upset, we're offended, we're discouraged, we're hopeless, we're whatever, and instead of turning to the Lord genuinely, we turn to other stuff and things. Or turn to nothing and just, go sit in a corner. And I don't know, what is it we do there? But nothing that helps. David, as an example, knew how in those problems, in those struggles, I mean, if he wanted to keep up his reputation, he shouldn't have written Psalms 31. Because it really shows him being pretty much scared to death, trying to encourage himself, and things aren't going good. I'm going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. Like, they're eventually going to get to me. There are too many. They surround me. There's too many of them. I can deal with one or two. This is the guy who they wrote songs about. Saul's killed his thousands. David, his tens of thousands. Like, we're talking superhero. Like, when he went to war, here is behind the curtains look at his life, where he's crying out and he's encouraging himself and he's saying, Lord, I've hated things that you hate. And he's trying to encourage himself about his position and his zeal and his commitment to the Lord and to things of the Lord. And he keeps going from verse to verse. Verse 9, skipping down. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. We would go, man, you're trashed. Like, I'm a hot mess. It was a hot mess. My life is spent with grief, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity in verse 10. And my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies. It's that feeling that just you can tell it's deep inside of you. your stomach's in knots, and there's that release of nasty stuff. Living in fear. Fear is like deadly. It's really healthy for us to avoid fear. Like maybe even more important than what we eat, which is important. What we eat and drink and what we don't eat and what we don't drink, that all has value. But living in fear is so toxic. Fear and anger, they'll put you in the grave faster than anything. And there's this release. Have you ever had that? And if you just pay attention to what's going on inside of you, you can just feel it sending off stuff inside of you. It's that detrimental to your health. David was doing the thing that you should do with that. He's bringing it before the Lord, and instead of letting it separate him from his Father in heaven, he uses it to just keep drawing further, closer, closer, closer. Can you do that? Can you live in a way? Can I challenge you? Can you live through your day and not be separated from the Lord? Can we practice staying close, staying connected for long periods of time? So that it's not that it's just a little bit that we are connected, it's just a little bit that we're disconnected. It's just that every once in a while we allow our hearts to wander off and we're not connected. We go, whoa, whoa, I gotta get back. And you need to understand, of course, that just practicing independence is sin. Just being independent. We're back to the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And if you look at that as instruction, it's instructing us. It is good for us to ask for even our daily needs, even normal things. Ask, because asking is good for you to do. It puts you in the position where you say, I'm not independent. I'm totally dependent on you for everything. Lord, help me get to work today. Are you worried about getting work today? Probably not, maybe not, but you know, nice roads, your vehicle's in good shape. Are you worried? Are you concerned? Pray anyways. Like, it's funny how quickly we get to this place where we're just kind of self-sufficient and not tapping, and we're not relying on the Lord. I mean, I feel convicted. I'm like, whoa, I'm like really bad for that. Oh, I don't need the Lord's help. When I get in situations that are difficult, then I do a lot of praying. Then it's like, oh, I can just breeze through this. This isn't a problem. That's usually when I get in trouble. Relationships, all that stuff, you know? Like, I know I need the Lord's help all the time, especially with my mouth and my whatever. And you know what's cool? I'm getting that help. Like, I am, you just never stop growing. So can we all just get over that? You just keep on growing, getting better. And so if you'll agree with that, then I won't feel so bad about confessing this. But I become more and more aware of even the little comments that I make that are dishonoring. It's the joking stuff, it's the whatever. And I have felt, I just can feel the Spirit go, and I go, you know, it's there on the tip of my tongue, and I just pull up. And it's amazing the peace that it keeps in my relationships. And now, Phyllis, I had this, I don't know where she's disappeared to. Hopefully she's okay. I just realized she's always right here, you know. And I have to worry about what I say. Now I don't have to worry about what I say, but I'm worried about where she is. Okay, so and early in our relationship, like, I would get her stirred up with my little sarcastic comments. And then I would accuse her of being vengeful and mean, you know. It was like this joking thing that always went on. But it was, you know, people around us are like uncomfortable with my brother. Be like, you guys make me uncomfortable the way you interact. Like, oh, we're fine. You know, we just banter like that. But in reality, it wasn't real good. She goes, I'll tell you what, Rick. I'll just pinch you or poke you every time you make a comment. Like, oh, I don't do that. Yeah, you do. I'll let you know. You know, it's like, you know, it's like the light on the dashboard that comes on. Beep, beep, you know, or those new cars that have a little beeper when you get off the road. I can't even drive those. They're like bad, like, because I'm too careless. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. You know, it's like, shut that thing off. Well, let me put it this way. I was getting poked and jabbed a lot right out of the gate. Like, see there, bang, you know, she'd get me. And I became aware real quickly how often I had this little thing. To develop our walk with the Lord, we always can keep pressing in, and we should. We need to. Always, always going after this. Becoming more sensitive to what the Spirit's saying, what the Spirit's doing. What is good and what is not. It's bad if we quit watching over ourselves. Do you really want to live like that? Do you want to just blame it on, I've always been this way? I mean, please, let's not, we don't have to do that. We can always be developing and look and growing and being more careful. And so much of it has to do with that. I was reading this excellent book by Bill Johnson. It's written about 11 years ago. And it was talking about in this chapter was staying connected to your destiny, and it's about staying connected. And he says that I'll just read this one paragraph. It says, so as I navigate various challenges and obstacles on the highway to my destiny, there's a journey we're all on to our destiny, fulfilling our destiny. So he's acknowledging that as I travel on that, I'm watching the warning lights of my heart. I must sustain my connection with the source of life. I'm like, what a phrase. I must sustain my connection with the source of life. I must sustain my connection with the source of life. That takes purpose, like purposeful living, to sustain the connection. And that's a good thing for you. That will transform you. Have some strongholds, have some ruts that you're always in. Just work at, practice this. We have a phrase, I'll try to get this right. Practice makes perfect. That's the phrase. But someone else came along and trumped that phrase with practice makes permanent. What you practice becomes permanent. And so the point is, be careful what you practice. A better point, be careful what you practice. And even if you get it wrong, what do you do when you're practicing something? You get it wrong, you go, nope, I got to get it right. You stop, you redo it. And you do it with intention of getting it right. You don't keep practicing the mistake. If you're shooting hoops or playing an instrument or doing something else, and you want to perfect that or get better at that, you don't practice the mistakes. If you do, you're foolish. You want to practice getting it right. If you're learning an instrument, a teacher will tell you, play it slow correctly and then speed up later. Don't just try to play it at that, you know, regular speed. If you can't play it right at this speed, slow it down till you can play it without making mistakes. And do that repeatedly, and then add speed. Slow down your life and get it right. I must sustain my connection with the source of life. Really, there's only one light. And he's referring to the dashboard lights. There's only one light, the oil light. It's the oil of his presence that gives me everything I need and anoints me to fulfill my purpose. But he only gives me the measure of his presence that I'm willing to jealously guard. We're like, Lord, give me more. It's like, well, what will you take care of? If you're wise with your children, you don't give them gifts that are above what they can take care of. Just saying. Why would you do that? Why would you give them fragile gifts when they're a two-year-old? Like, give them blocks. Give them the cardboard box. They'll probably enjoy that more. The gifts that are precious and more, you hold off. Because you don't love them? No. Because they're not ready for that. And you know if they break it, they're going to cry their eyes out till you go get another one. So you're like, you know, choose your gifts wisely. The Lord is the same way. What if some of the things you're longing for, he's just waiting for the right time to give you because you're actually not ready for it? And so give yourself to being prepared and give yourself, like, the Lord loves us unconditionally. He can't love you anymore. He can't love you any less if you screw up. He can't love you anymore if you perform well. He already loves you, boom, right at the top. Favor, however, is another thing. And we don't like to say that, like we like, oh, it's all automatic. Actually, it's not. And anybody with wisdom in the ministry that knows these things, the seasoned, they'll like, you have to earn, you come to a place of being prepared for favor. You come to a place what can you carry? What can you be responsible for? What are you ready for? But he only gives me the measure of his presence that I'm willing to jealously guard. So I have to build the strength of will and character to focus all my energies on carrying his presence with excellence. I can't afford to have a moment in my life when the circumstances distract me from tending that fire in my heart. Oh, Lord, we're all like, let's just fall on the floor and eat carpet, you know, like, we're not good at this. Most of us are not good at this. Some of you are even better than I am at this. Letting the circumstances of life distract us from tending that fire in our heart. Even a situation when I must tend the fire by myself. And of course, this whole book is about learning how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Learning how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Maybe you never even thought there was such a thing. But there actually is. You have to learn, this is why we need to develop a quiet place and some place, a secret place where we can consistently go to the Lord. It can be very simple, doesn't have to look like anybody else's, but you've got to find this place where you can talk to the Lord, process things, meditate on his word and on his promises. And little snippets can be just as powerful as 2 or 3 hour durations. It's not about time. It's about what you can find. And it's out of that place that he feeds you and leads you and guides you. It's out of that place that he nourishes your heart. It's out of that place that you develop that vision comes and dreams come and inspiration comes. So you got to find that place, and that's that place where you nurture that fire, you nurture that thing, and become strong. Be the son. Be the daughter. Approach the Lord. And live with this authority that is the authority of a son or a daughter, and go after this with all of your heart. Verse 14, skipping ahead, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And then 15, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. It's you know, we're aware of all of this stuff, and we can... we can be tempted to fight that in our flesh. And we become like them trying to save ourselves. We've got to guard over how we walk. We cannot walk like them. We can't walk like others. We can't walk like unbelievers. We can't walk like orphans that just fight for everything they have. We live like we're sons, like we're daughters. Do you know there's so many things you don't have to engage in? And I hear this all over the place in references to the social media and things like, and they can be very valuable. Actually, they can. But when you get into this bantering and this dishonoring and how quickly, how easy it is. I'm trying to remember, maybe it was Eric Johnson. Someone was just talking about this recently. It's amazing how easy it is to be mean-spirited on Facebook or on in response to those things. And whoever it was saying, have you noticed how easy it is to say really bad things to somebody when you're not face-to-face? And yet you're doing it. And yet the personal interaction it's different, it's real. We have a culture that's getting really badly affected by all of this, all of that kind of interaction. And it can have its purpose, but we need face-to-face encounters, and we need to develop that. It hasn't lost its value, even in our techie world. It's still important to have face-to-face conversations with people. And when we carry the light, we affect them. We affect that. When we stay connected to our Father, even yesterday as I approached this funeral, because I always do that with weddings and funerals, like, Father, what are you doing today? All I want to do is do what you're doing and see what you're doing, perceive what you're doing, perceive what you're saying. It's so cool. Like when I pray that, it's the right prayer because it opens up the help and the direction, and it ends up being like an arrow, and it speaks to things. It brings light. It brings hope. It brings ministry. And you're all called to carry the message. It was one of the kings. I need to look up the scripture. I haven't actually looked it up. But every day prepared his heart. Like he prepared his heart for what the Lord would do. What would it look like if every day you were able to get a word from the Lord? And because I find when I do connect with him and I get stuff, I use it all day long. I don't know what's coming that day. I don't know who I'm going to interact with. I don't know but when I have something early, all my conversations, it comes up all day long. Something I felt, something I read, something that clicked with me. And so I have life to give. When I don't get time for that, then I can tell. I don't have that juice. I don't have that. And so we'll be careful to make sure we have it for certain situations, but the goal would be that it's daily, that it's continual, that we always have something burning in us. Because no matter what your job is, you're in the ministry. This is what the ministry looks like. It's you going out. It's Jesus in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you wherever you go. And whatever you do that looks spiritual or is practical and normal, it all has value, and it can all minister and bring life. I'll look at, as most of you know, I do construction and the ministry and do whatever, like all these things. But I actually like that. And somebody was talking to me a year or so ago that was in the ministry, and they're asked me about some things, and I said, yeah, I do construction too. And often people in the ministry do that to subsidize their income and et cetera, et cetera. And it's really not why I do it. There's a part of it that I like feel his favor when I do this. And I remember his response and realizing he didn't quite understand, but that's a significant what I do in that, because the Lord's favor is on it, and I where I go and what I end up doing, it has a ministry of its own. And I don't really want to give that up. And it is because that's as significant as what I do on Sunday mornings, because I do it in the same spirit as what I do this. Like, I pray through it. I pray as much for doing that as I do for doing this. I seek the Lord because and it matters, and I know this. It blesses people. Like, it's more than just fixing something for them. It's more, there's something else. There's another element. Could I just invoke all of you, whatever you do, that happens when you stay connected to the Father. It happens when you cherish that connection. You stay connected to the source of life. Wherever you go, come or go, doing the little thing, you may not be able to change the world, but you can change one thing. You can do your thing. And if you do your thing, someone else can do their thing beside it, and it begins to build. And you don't have to be a superhero. You can just be a normal person, walking in integrity and walking with just a clear conscience and a pure heart. Oh, wow, how sweet that would be. And to look at everything in your life as it all is, Father, what are you doing in this? I don't want to have to do this today, but it's what I have to do. But Father, you're going to be with me, so help me see what you're doing in this occasion, in this situation. This is the humdrum of my life, but I want to do it in a way that I please you. I'm washing the dishes, or I'm mowing the grass, or I'm going to go do this thing in front of people, whether it's in front of people, whether it's in secret, nobody sees. Let everything that you do it as unto the Lord. And it will cause this joy and this peace, because you're continually just trying to stay connected. Your goal is to stay connected with the Father, so that you're working with your Father. And his hands are your hands, and your hands are his hands, and what he's doing, what he's ministering. Let's just commit this to the Lord, see what else he wants to do today. Bless you, Father. How we long to just stay close to you. How we long to be your sons and just stand in this position here on earth, connected to you in heaven, so that we can bring what's in heaven down here to earth where we are. So that our model, our guidelines, the blueprints we're looking at are the blueprints in heaven. What does it look like in heaven? That's what we want, what it needs to look like here. Ask you to give us grace for everything that separates us. And Father, most of all, when we're struggling, when we have enemies, when we're aware of the conflict, give us the grace to press into you more, not run away. When we feel like we've failed, give us grace to draw even nearer. We just need more of you. We need more of your presence. If we need changed, we need more of your presence. If we need help, it's because we need more of your presence. It's not about being hypocrites. It's about saying, I need more of him till I look more like Jesus. I need more of your presence till I look more like the Son. Holy Spirit, just convict us of our complaining. Convict us of how we speak about things as though they were impossible, when with you, nothing's impossible. With you, nothing's impossible. For everything that I'll talk about like it's an impossible problem or difficult problem, if I'll just commit that to you in prayer, just ask for your help and sit back and watch and see what you do. What a difference it makes. Father, help us to practice thanksgiving, just being thankful. That everything that we receive with thanksgiving. I ask for a supernatural grace to be on us to heal and mend relationships. Father, your favor was so much on your people. And Psalms 105 describes how your people prospered and multiplied till the Egyptians became literally afraid of them. So that when they left Egypt, there wasn't a feeble one among them. What in the world does that even look like? The picture of a people that walk with you wholeheartedly will be a people that have strength, that multiply, that prosper. Father, we want to be those people. Our life without you is very low expectation. Our life with you is very high potential. With you has promise. Even if with difficulties, there is promise. Without you is hopeless, is bitterness, is discouragement. Father, fill us, your grace. Fill us with more of your love. Fill us with more revelation. Fill us with more, more, more of you. More of you.